Unsealed. The letters of Bessa Fardwick. A peek into Bessa's parcels. Receiving a letter is nice, but when it comes with a parcel, well, that's even better. And in Bessa's days, when letters were delivered by hand, it was possible to send all sorts of things which would now be rejected by postal services because they do not conform with the standard dimensions. Let's have a close look at Bessa's letters and see just how many wonderful and curious things she sent and received. Food and drink, hampers if you will, have always been popular presents. Bess and her husbands often travelled and spent much time apart from each other, and then they sent barrels of beer and ale, slabs of meat, the best freshly churned butter, the crispest young lettuce of the season, substantial cakes, and many other things that would sweeten their loved one's tongue and warm the cockles of their hearts until their reunion. Bess's fourth husband George, the 6th Earl of Shrewsbury no less, looked well after Bess's culinary tastes when they were young in love. On one occasion he even produced exotic fruit.
I have 2 boxes of comfits at the castle, which I will send you. I send you this day lemons and oranges by your carrier.
And Bess sent the best morsels from her kitchen to feed husband and friends in style. Her parcels could be substantial. In fact, sometimes she sent much more than George could transport on his travels.
I thank you, sweet Noan, for your puddings and venison. Of the puddings, I have bestowed 12 to my Lady Cobham, and as many to my Lord Stuart and to my Lord of Leicester, but the rest I have reserved to myself to eat in my chamber. The venison is yet at London, but I have sent for it hither. Your faithful husband till death, George Shrewsbury.
On another occasion, George complained that the mince pies Bess had sent him had arrived stale. Since no other letter survives with similar complaints, Bess probably followed George's heartfelt request that she send only fresh pies in the future. When Bess sent gifts to court, she liked to hear from those who were at court about the Queen's reaction. Her half-sister Elizabeth Wingfield's husband was happy to deliver gifts on her behalf, and Elizabeth herself reported back to Bess in her letters. On one occasion, Bess sent a piece of venison to the Queen. On another, she had beautiful dresses made, which were a great success at court indeed.
Her Majesty never liked anything you gave her so well. The colour and strange trimming of the garments, with the rich and great cost bestowed upon it, has caused her to give out such good speeches of my lord and your ladyship as I never heard of better. She told my lord of Leicester and my lord Chamberlain that you had given her such garments this year as she never had so well liked. If my lord and your ladyship had given £500, in my opinion, it would not have been so well taken.
Cloth and glassware were also popular gifts for Christmas and New Year's. Unlike food, they kept for a long time, just like the kind relationship between a mother and her children. So one New Year's Eve, one of Bess's daughters writes,
I have sent your honour a piece of linen and a drinking glass as a remembrance of my entire loving duty, with most hearty wishes for many happy New Year's, your ladyship's humble and dutiful daughter, Frances Pierpont.
But perhaps the most wonderful item that could be sent with letters were other letters, personal pieces of writing that Bess kept carefully until the end of her life. She even made sure that Hardwick Hall had a muniment room, where documents could be kept systematically and under lock, like precious jewels. We can only imagine Bess's excitement when she received the following letter from her son Henry, her problem child, who nevertheless wrote dutifully from his travels around Italy.
Since our last letters to you, we have travelled through the country of Switzerland into Italy, where for the short time of our travel, we have seen many good cities.
Henry promises to send travel journals with his next mail.
What we have seen in this journey, and the description of the towns to the best of our power, with each day's travel recorded, we should have sent now written in books, but at this present we had not fully finished them, and so constrained to let them stay until the next post. Your obedient son, Henry Cavendish.
Unfortunately, the next letter and travel journals do not survive. Neither do the oranges, lemons, mince pies, venison, and puddings mentioned in Bess's letters. But with a little bit of imagination, the letters alone conjure up images of George eating pudding and the Queen trying on new dresses. And that is a very nice picture indeed.
And so, wishing you all honour and happiness, I will take my leave. From Hardwick, your ever-assured loving friend, Elizabeth Shrewsbury.
This podcast was written, narrated, and produced by Anke Timmermann. You will find a list of all contributors on our webpage, www.bessofhardwick.org/listen.